So we're just going to take a look at what missions means to the church tonight. And, you know, you say, well, you know, we have a work here to do, and we give to the local church, and there's a work to do. Why are we worried about what everybody else is doing? Well, we're a part of this. This is part of the vocation and work of the church. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts and chapter 13. Now, we're going to be all over the book of Acts and a few other places in Scripture tonight, just to take a biblical perspective of what part the church has in missions, what reason we do this thing that we do, why we have a missions conference, why we have or a missions month or a missions Sunday or things like that, and why we support missionaries. We have all kinds of letters back there from missionaries all over the world. It's good to know why. Why do we do this? What's the reason? And, you know, I think we ought to know why we do something, right? Just don't just do it. Well, that's what we've always done. Well, okay, who really cares? We should know why we're doing this, okay? And just because it's something we've always done doesn't necessarily make it the right thing to do. Now, sometimes it is, but it's good to know why. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're able, we're going to start here and just reading a few verses here in Acts chapter 13. And I'll read. You just follow along, if you would, please. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So we see here, we're going to see as they go through, there's a whole journey that they're going to go upon. If you go back in your Bibles a few chapters to Acts chapter 9, this is actually the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. I want you to look at what Jesus, or what's said that the Lord said to Ananias, as Ananias was reminding him who Saul was, because, you know, Jesus forgot who he was, of course. But look at verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Then, Father, I pray that you bless us tonight as we just look through Scripture and find out some purpose and some material and some reasons why missions should be an important part of not only the Christian's life, but of the church's existence. Lord, I pray that you'd help us understand why we do what we do, and that it's a biblical-based and scripturally-based thing that we should participate in. The Lord, I pray that you bless us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's said, you've heard by missionaries, I'm sure, that God had one son and he made him a missionary. That's how important missions is, right? Okay, you may have heard that line before. I don't know if I argue with that at all, but isn't it true? Right? God sent his son. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. You know, here we see that Paul was to be sent out to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. He was called out. He had a purpose. And as they were minding their business in church, here in Acts chapter 13, it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch. Here they are, Bible studies, they're worshiping together, they're there and gathered together, these men. And as they fasted and prayed and they were doing these things, the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, I got to work for these two guys. And it says in verse 4 that says, so being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, there was a work for them to do. And listen, folks, I tell you what, I want to see Lighthouse Baptist Church grow. I do. I really do. And I know you want to see that happen. But can I tell you something? A church is not here just to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Tear down this building, build another building, grow, 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 grow. That's not the purpose of a church. We're not a cistern. We're not the Dead Sea. There needs to be an outlet. There needs to be an outlet. We need to bring people in and send people out. And now I don't mean, you know, what some preachers might call a backdoor revival, you know, getting people out of the church. Listen, we have enough hard enough time getting them in the front door. We don't need to be kicking them out the back door, okay? Now, no, but I mean, we need to bring them in so that they can go out and do the will of God and work of God for their life. Listen, it was a hard thing just a few months ago to be a part of a good, growing, thriving church and to move to another church. I just went through this. But you know what I did? I told people, look, I don't know that God wants people to necessarily come to a church and just stay there forever. Now, for some, that's okay. I mean, that's fine. The church needs stable, you know, people in the church. But at times, people are going to come in and go out. That's what God wants for His church. That's a sign of being lively, of being alive. If a church never sends anybody out, I don't know how alive they are. I love walking down the halls at Trinity, not only seeing the 270 plus missionaries that are supported by that church, which is a wonderful number. And I think we support a wonderful number of missionaries for the size of church we are. But I like, there's one hallway, and if you go to Trinity, you can notice this, okay? It's the, as you come in the foyer, all right, so if you're coming in, it's to the right, right, toward the men's restrooms. But don't go down the hallway there. Go into the sanctuary through that one hallway there right off the foyer. That hallway, those pictures of those missionaries are dedicated to missionaries that are sent out from the membership of Trinity Baptist Church. And I believe at one time there were 23, 24 missionaries in that hallway that were members of Trinity Baptist Church. Hey, your pastor for a long time here in this place was sent out of Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas, to come up here to start a church and a work here in this area 20 years ago. This is God's design. God wants His church to send people out into the work of missions. So we have a purpose for missions in the church. You know what? World missions is a Bible command. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You are familiar with this verse. We've said quoted it many times in the preaching and teaching this last month. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We know this is true. Why did God send Saul, the Pharisee, amongst the church in Jerusalem, to wreak havoc? To get them out. He wanted them scattered abroad, preaching the gospel to the world. They were in their Jerusalem, weren't they? But he wanted to get them out into Judea and into Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He had a mission. The church was supposed to go out. It was to spread out and to give the gospel out across the world. I've told you many times that we generally cannot be world travelers. Okay? Most of us do not have the resources to do such. Now, some do. That's great. I personally use the United States military for that end. Okay, I was fortunate enough to be in the military and get to travel. I got to spend 3 years on the island of Sicily Okay, that's the little chunk in the Mediterranean Sea that the boot is kicking. Okay, on your geography quiz there. All right, and that was a wonderful time. And I got to go to Spain, and I got to go to Germany, I got to go to London, I got to go to Malta, I got to go all over the place. It was a lot of fun. I got to go into northern Italy and all of that. It was wonderful. But can I tell you something? I kind of did that on my own, if you will. Could you imagine getting to do something like that for world missions? But I don't have the finances for that. I flew military airplanes and things all over to those places. I with 11 children, that would be a little difficult. All right. These missionaries, they go overseas. Their plane tickets are really outlandish. I mean, they're expensive. And then when they want to come home on furlough, they have to do those things. And there's a lot of expenses there for a family to go around the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that there are people that are designated by God, just like God said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. You know, she didn't say he wanted these other guys to go do something. Right? Maybe later they did. But in this particular case, these two guys are the ones he wanted to send around the world to preach the gospel. God does that, and he does that through the local church. You know, God wants missions to exist. He does. Jesus Christ died for whosoever. For every creature. And we're supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. If we're going to preach a whosoever will salvation, which I believe in, we've got to give it to whosoever. We got to get it to them. You know, to these places, it was good for Jonathan to mention, missionaries in some countries can't be missionaries. You know, we've had missionaries here that have asked us not to publicize who they are, where they're going, those things, because their lives are in danger. If the government really knew what they were doing. You know, these things are real in our world today. The need is real. And the church has a part in this. Go over to Matthew 28. I know you know these verses. But it helps us establish why we do what we do as far as world missions goes. Matthew 28. It's a command. This is God's plan. This is not the Independent Baptist Church movement's plan. All right? This is not Lighthouse Baptist Church's plan, although we hold to it. It's not ours. We didn't make it up. Okay? God made this up. It says here in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The Great Commission has in it teaching all nations. We've got to get the world out to every creature. We know that's in Mark 16:15. And that we already saw in Acts 1:8 that it's our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We understand that the Great Commission is not just us four and no more. It's to the whole world. And the church has a part in that. To whom was he speaking? Here in Matthew 28. To whom was he speaking? In Mark 16:15. To whom was he speaking? In Acts chapter 1. He was speaking to the church. He was telling them what he wanted them to accomplish. Now, did he say, okay, now you 120, you that are gathered here, I want you to pick up all that you have, and I want you to go to Judea. And then after you're done preaching the gospel in Judea, I want you 120 to pick up and go over to Samaria. And then I want you 120 to pick up and to go over to Indonesia or China or Russia or Macedonia, or we can use older names like that, because obviously some of those other ones weren't in existence. I want you to go over to Persia, and I want you to go down to Greece. And did he mean for that 120 as a group to just Like, for instance, if he said, okay, Lighthouse Baptist Church, I want you to preach the whole world. So this year, I want you to pack up and go preach in Mexico. And then next year, I want this body of believers to pack up and go preach in Brazil. And then, you know, I want you to pack up and go to Ireland and preach there. And then I want you to go to what's that frozen place in Russia? Ukraine. And I want you to go over there and preach up there. Okay? No. That's not what he was telling them, is it? It's the missions plan. That some would go and the church would continue to be the church. Now, we have a command. This is God's plan. He has an example of sending people out to other places. God wants people to be sent. We just recently preached about being called. We're called. And he says, even as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. We're being sent out for the work of missions into this world. And we understand that this is his plan and it's God's work to be done. Go to Acts chapter 9 again. And I want you to look at verses 10 through 16. Acts chapter 9. And verses 10 through 16. It says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You see, God had a purpose for Saul, and he called him out for a work. And let me ask you a question. Did Paul go to the Gentiles? Yep. Did Saul or Paul preach to kings? Yes. And did he also to the children of Israel? Yes. Did he suffer great things for Christ's sake? Yes. Just go read in Corinthians the long list of things that he went through. Right? Night and day in a deep. Beatings often by rods, by stripes above measure. Right? All those things that he said. And don't forget my favorite. And deaths oft. Okay, I'm sorry, a little soapbox here, rabbit trail, if you will. But I can't believe how many times I read that before I actually noticed that phrase in there, that he said that, in deaths oft. I mean, that just blows my mind. Just, you know, wow. But back here in Acts chapter 9, in verse 16, that's what he said it was going to happen. Did it happen? Absolutely it did. Every word of it. So the reality is God does call people. And as we've seen people come to this pulpit in this place, in this church, and they are telling us about a people in a country that have needs and have issues and have difficulties. And you can just see it coming out of the heart of these individuals that God wants them to go there. God wants them to go minister to these people. These people are special to them. These people mean something to them. And let me tell you something, folks. In September, I knew who you all were. I did. I've known many of you for several years. And I knew of the work here in this place. But you know what? Back in September, I didn't have a heart for y'all. Is that okay? You're not offended by that, all right? I didn't, but I do now. I mean that. And I'm not just saying that to make you feel good. I do. I look at every day, I look at each one of your names, and I have, Mrs. Wolverton did a fantastic job. She gave me pictures of y'all. I didn't know if you knew that, but I have your picture. It's on my dartboard, some of you. I just, who am I going to pray for today? Oh, yeah. No, I don't do that. Now, honestly, they do have little holes in them, but they're from pins, okay? They're not from darts, okay? Now, but God does that. God does that. And he calls somebody to... I mean, did you see Brother Weedo and Brother Gazaway as they were here? And the burden and the need they had to minister to those people. It's real. It is very real. Paul, in his writings, and I'm going to use this word because it's a great word, he oozes with the burden and the desire for the people he's talking to, whether they're in Colossae or in Philippi or in Thessalonica or just the country of Israel. Remember what he said in Romans about how much he desired for his own people to be saved. He said, hey, I'm willing to give up my own salvation that they could be saved. I mean, if you deny that missions is a call of God, you gotta shut down half the Bible. Because it's there over and over again. The Word of God reveals to us the reality of the call of the missionary. Paul served. He was a teacher, a prophet there at the Church of Antioch. And the Holy Spirit called he and Barnabas to the work of the missions. He sent them out to different places. As they went around preaching the gospel and seeing people saved, seeing churches started in different places. Go to Acts chapter 16. We've recently talked about this passage of scripture in messages recently. Acts chapter 16. Remember, they were trying to figure out where to go, right? And it says when they had gone, at verse 6 of chapter 16, and when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. You say, what? Why would God not want the word? Don't question why. He just didn't want them to go there. That's good enough for me, okay? After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Said, nope, not going that way. Hey, who's running this program anyways? The Holy Spirit. Back in Acts chapter 13, who sent them out? The Holy Spirit. Said, well, the church in Antioch did. Well, yes, they laid hands on them, they prayed for them, and they sent them out according to the word of the Holy Spirit. And why did they choose to go to the places that they did? Because that's where the Holy Spirit led them. Hey, why do those 47 missionaries back there, why did they decide to go there, there, and there, and there, and there, and there, and there, and there? Because that's where the Holy Spirit sent them. Why am I here in Wiley, Texas? Because that's where God sent me. Why was I North Dakota farm boy? Okay? Why am I down here in Texas anyways? Because God sent me down here. And so, this is a work of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, in verse 9, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night, there stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So guess where they went? Macedonia. Why? That's where God sent them. It's the reality of the call of the missionary. You know what? The Holy Spirit not only calls people and sends people out of the church. Church has a part in that. But the power of God on a missionary's life is through the Holy Spirit as well. You know, we already read about the power promised there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They were sent out with the power and authority of God there in Acts 13. Did you notice that? After they had fasted and prayed and sent out through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Here in Acts 16, we're seeing how the Holy Spirit is guiding them and directing them through the places and cities and towns and countries where he wants them to go. God is invested in the work of missions. Look at Acts chapter 28 and verses 1 through 5. Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 5. You say, Brother Combs, you mentioned a few times about you coming here. That's not missions. Why not? It's a mission from God for me. You say, well, you're a pastor. Well, missionaries are kind of pastors too, aren't they? But look at this in verse 1 through 5 in chapter 28. And when they were escaped, they knew that the island, which was called Melita. Oh, by the way, did I tell you that? I got to go there. I got to go. I get to stand on the beach where it said that they landed from the storm Euroclodon. That's a good storm name. Anyways, that was pretty cool. And the barbarous people, right, showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, when they looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. And of course, we know that Paul denied that and went and preached Jesus, and a great revival took place there amongst those islanders. Do you know what? God protects his missionaries. Why do we have those little prayer cards on our fridges? Why do we look at these missionary letters and missionaries ask us to pray for them? Do you think that there were churches all across Asia Minor, all across the known world at that time, praying for Paul? Yes. He mentions that many times in his letters. Not only how much he and his fellow laborers prayed for them, but how much he appreciated them praying for him. Hey, that's one of the things a church can do. A church can pray for those missionaries back there that we support. And for that matter, we can pray for all missionaries. But specifically, we have an investment in those 47 missionaries back there. Because they're our missionaries. We have a part. Just like Paul was prayed for because he was their missionary. You know, you think the church at Antioch cared a lot about Paul and Barnabas? I do. They were sent out of there. And they were always received well back there. But you see, the church has a part in this. This is God's work. You know, missionaries are going to face problems. They're going to face struggles. They're going to face difficulties. And they're going to adapt and overcome. You know, I think of Brother and Mrs. Downs. Great people. They had some troubles with the government in Ethiopia. They know they're called to Ethiopia. And I talked to Brother Downs. He would love to go back there. But he can't. They won't allow him. Do you know what he did? He said, I know God's called me to Ethiopians. If I can't go to Ethiopia, I'm going to find some Ethiopians somewhere. And guess what? He found, oh, I'll use a good southern term. He found a whole mess of Ethiopians up in Washington, D.C. I like these southern words. They're fun. Like fixin' and all that stuff. That's good stuff. And all y'all is a great word. I love that one. But he found a whole bunch of them up in Washington, D.C. area to minister to. Hey, you know what? He just found a way to overcome situation. And you know, God is doing a great work there, and they're getting a chance to witness to Ethiopians, even though the government of Ethiopia won't allow them to come in. You know, there are other missionaries that are doing lots of other things just like that. I know there are missionaries in China, and John mentioned North Korea, where they have to have church underground. I know missionaries that they can't go into a country as a missionary, they have to go in as an English teacher. But they're missionaries. Hey, folks, people have to smuggle Bibles into countries. And if they're caught with a Bible, they're punished, or they're fined, or they're imprisoned, or sometimes killed in some of these Muslim countries. Well, there's problems.
Did Paul deal with problems?
Yeah, in fact, we already read that Jesus said he was going to have problems. He was going to suffer things. You know what? The people that are called to the work of the Lord know that it's not the easiest road to hoe. And that's okay. It's going to come with those things, those circumstances. But the missionary must face these problems. So what does the church have to do with it? Well, in Acts chapter 13, the church sent them on with provisions for their journey. We know that in the people of Macedonia, we read this at the Sunday night message, I believe. No, it wasn't. Sunday morning message, because Sunday night was the wonderful word of God. I've got to get that straight. But on Sunday morning, I know I mentioned here in Philippians 4 that the people of Macedonia gave. And he was encouraging the Philippians to also give. That was in Sunday school, so I got to get that. Some of you didn't hear that. Go to Facebook, find Sunday school lesson, listen to it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But God expects us to be a part. Why do these people give? To missions and to missionaries. Because it's their work. It's their work. It's how they help support worldwide missions. It's a partnership. We get a chance to partner with these people in the work of the ministry. When we participate, God is pleased. Go over there to Philippians chapter 4. I want you to see what Paul says about churches participating in world missions. Philippians chapter 4, look at verses 18 and 19. Well, look at verse 17. Paul says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, we see that this has to do with the church supporting missions and supporting missionaries. And we know that the churches in Macedonia were poor and they didn't have anything, but God blessed them as they gave. And God will bless us as we give. And Paul said, hey, because you gave, I'm going to pray that God shall supply your needs. Remember the widow woman? She gave out of her need, or of what she needed to live on. And Christ praised her. And all these fat cats, these rich guys, right? They gave out of their abundance. They didn't do anything special, but she did. Just like this church in these churches in Macedonia gave out of their poverty, the Bible says. And God blessed them because of it. Don't you want God's blessings on your life? God wants us to bear fruit, doesn't he? This is one way we can do that. By praying for missionaries. By supporting missionaries. By giving to missionaries. Doesn't the Bible tell us that if we give, it'll be given unto us? Good measure. Pressed down. Right? Oh, yeah. And running over, I think it says even, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, to what purpose? To what end? So we can have more? How about this? So we can give more. And give more. And give more. You know what? You know what God wants? I think God wants us to take in and give out. And take in and give out. And take in and give out. Not just in money, material wealth, but also people. God wants the church to take in and give out. See, this is part of God's economy. And guess what? The more we take in, the more we get to give out. Hey, wouldn't you like to have a little wall here? Now, I know we have a few. Okay? I'm just off the top of my head, I can think of a few that were members of this church that were sent out. That's great. But wouldn't you like to have a wall? 46, 47, 50, 20, 30, whatever, at Trinity, of folks that were sent out from here
out to the mission field. Yeah, we've got to get them in so we can get them out. We got to do, that's part of the work of the church, the missions work of the church. Hey, folks, there's much more to say about this subject, but I just wanted to give you a little bit of why. Why do we do what we do? It's because God has a purpose. God has called missionaries to the work. And the church is one of those institutions, those things that can help support missionaries. And if you think about it, our little church probably couldn't take one missionary or two missionaries or three missionaries and support them 100%. We might could do that. But we couldn't do 46 probably. Well, we could try. I mean, that's a good goal to shoot for. But you know what? If 100 churches support a missionary, they can get out to the field. So if we work together and get these missionaries out to the field, we're giving out of our poverty, out of what we maybe need and to accomplish the work that God has for missions. But we do what we can.